I'd like to welcome all of you for this retreat. And the overall title or theme of this retreat is Victory Over the Culture of Death. And this is a retreat that is primarily a follow-up to Rachel's Vineyard, but it's something that I think is appropriate for everyone. You know, many people today might think that women and men who have had abortions or been involved in abortions are irreparably damaged, and that there is no way that they can actually be well again. Those of us who have been involved in Rachel's Vineyard or have been through a Rachel's Vineyard retreat can give personal testimony that that idea is very wrong. We have all experienced healing and seen great healing in regard to the wounds of abortion. Our Lord Jesus does not merely want to forgive sins. He also wants to heal wounds, to make people well again. And His divine power of healing is so powerful that He can heal us, He can put us back together in such a way that we are better than we were before we committed the sins that wounded us. If we think about the old nursery rhyme about Humpty Dumpty, about how it says all the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Well, when Jesus is the king, He can put us back together again. In fact, He puts us together so that we're better than we were before. That's the power of His grace and His mercy. In the gospel, we see our Lord work many healings. Jesus, before He healed the paralytic, He forgave the man his sins. He also forgave the sins of the blind man, of lepers, as well as healing their physical wounds or sicknesses. In fact, we can safely say that our Lord Jesus is more interested in the healing of our souls than of our bodies. Bodily ailments can actually serve as medicines for the wounds and ailments of our souls through the power of the cross. We're drawn into that mystery of the cross of the Lord Jesus. And those bodily ailments can help us to unite ourselves to Christ and to be healed of spiritual ailments. There are some people who think today, and you see this a lot today, who think that everyone is going to go to heaven. And if everyone is going to go to heaven, then it doesn't really matter how we live. It doesn't really matter what choices we would make in our lives. But that idea that everyone is going to go to heaven is not from Scripture and is not the teaching of our Lord Jesus. Now, on the other hand, there are a lot of people who say that their goal is to just make it to heaven. In fact, I meet Catholics sometimes who will say, you know, Father, I'm hoping to just barely make it to purgatory. And my question is, well, what happens if you miss? We shouldn't just try to barely make it to heaven or barely make it to purgatory. We are called to the perfection of love, which is holiness. The Second Vatican Council, in its Dogmatic Decree on the Church, Lumen Gentium, says this: all Christians, in any state or walk of life, are called to the fullness of Christian life and to the perfection of charity. We are called to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. It goes on to say, in order to reach this perfection, the faithful should use the strength dealt out to them by Christ's gift, so that doing the will of the Father in everything, they may wholeheartedly devote themselves to the glory of God and to the service of their neighbor. Thus, the holiness of the people of God will grow in fruitful abundance, as is clearly shown in the history of the Church through the lives of so many saints. So what we are called to as Christians is not to a minimalistic living of Christianity, of following Christ, but we are called to the perfection of love, which is also called sanctity or holiness. The idea that many people have had especially till recently, that only priests and religious brothers or sisters, monks or nuns, that only priests and religious can be saints, that idea is false. And ultimately, it is a very destructive idea for people to have, because it leads to a minimalization. It leads us to apathy about being transfigured, transformed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Many saints throughout the history of the church have taught that all people are called to love God wholeheartedly. We go right back to the old law, to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. The central core of Judaism is the prayer called the Shema Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. We are called to have a great intimacy, a great union with God in the life of prayer, in our spiritual life. Now, this teaching that we're called to holiness is not something that just originated with the Second Vatican Council. St. Francis de Sales, in writing his book, The Introduction to the Devout Life, talks about how we're all called to a life of devotion, to a life of deep prayer, of holiness. St. Therese of Lisieux, speaking of her little way of perfection, says that all are called to this life of humble trust and union with God. The servant of God, Frank Duff, the founder of the Legion of Mary, taught that everyone is called to be a saint. In fact, his first work that he ever wrote was called Can We Be Saints? And everything in his life, and the Legion of Mary is the largest Catholic lay organization in the world. It's got about 15 million members worldwide. Everything is based on that. We are called to be saints. Saint Jose Maria Escriva, again, all of us are called to sanctity. We've got to get away from the idea of just making it or of being minimalist in the faith. St. Gregory of Nyssa, who's one of the great Eastern fathers and doctors of the church, says this: Christian perfection has but one limit, that of having none. Christian perfection has but one limit, that of having none. In a special way, what we need today, if we are going to have victory in our culture of death and over our culture of death, is we need men and women who have experienced the deepest of wounds, including the wounding that comes from abortion, who will embrace the call of Almighty God to pursue a life of holiness. Whenever the church has been in rough times, when the world has gone crazy with heresies or sinful practices, God has always brought about a change, a conversion in society through raising up saints. Saints are men and women outstanding in holiness. It is the saints who have always changed the world for the better. I believe that the only way that our depraved modern society, our culture of death, can be overcome, can be converted, is through sanctity. And who better to show the power and mercy of God, the wisdom of God, the transforming power of His grace and mercy, than women and men who have suffered the greatest of wounds, the wounds that come from abortion. You and I are all called to embrace this calling from the Lord Jesus, to follow the path to holiness. It is a narrow and difficult way that leads to eternal life. Our Lord Jesus says it is a narrow way. It is the difficult road. He says that broad is the way and easy that leads to destruction. So we're called to take that narrow and difficult road, but not alone. We take it together. We walk hand in hand with our Lord Jesus and with our Blessed Mother Mary. We walk in the company of the saints who have gone before us. We are not alone in that journey to holiness. This weekend's retreat is a time for us to reflect on our lives, on our vocations, on the path and the means that God has given for us to become saints. If we're going to listen to God, if we're going to be present to God and allow God to speak in our hearts, it is important that we have times of silence. Nowadays, with modern technology, we've lost some of these things, these analogies I'm going to use. But the old-fashioned radios that many of us remember, you had to tune them very carefully by hand. And you had to tune them to eliminate the static, to get the clear signal. That's what we do in having times of silence and retreat. We tune in so that we can listen to the Lord Jesus speak to us. So in the times of silence that are designated, it is important that we keep that silence, that we really try to listen and to hear the voice of Jesus speaking to us. Now the Lord gives us many different means for us to become holy. If holiness is our goal, is the end, then there have to be means to get there. And just as athletes have to choose the means to get to their goal, maybe a man wants to run a marathon, he has to choose the means that are going to get him to that goal, all of his training. So it is with the life of holiness. We have to choose the means that are going to help us to get to our goal. So I'd like to give right now just a brief overview of what these means are. And then during the rest of this retreat, we're going to delve more deeply into some of them. First of all, prayer. Prayer is not talking at God. A lot of people talk at God. It is speaking with God. It is spending time with Him, listening to Him, entering into a loving conversation with the beloved of our soul. One of the important means in prayer, practices in prayer, is what we call meditation, or lectio divina, the divine reading, the prayerful, meditative reading of sacred scripture. And we'll talk about that more in another conference. We have the sacraments, the seven principal channels of God's grace. And we need to use the sacraments well, especially the two sacraments that are readily available to all of us, the sacrament of confession and the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. The holy sacrifice of the Mass, which is Calvary made present in our midst. It is the sacrifice of our salvation. Everything, all grace, comes from our Lord Jesus Christ, from His sacrifice of Calvary. And that sacrifice is made present for us, and we participate in that in every Mass. We have the sacramentals of the Church. The sacramentals are different from the sacraments. Sacraments work in and of themselves because it's Christ doing it. The sacramentals are means of grace that depend on our own personal openness to them and to what God wants to do through them. Sacramentals include using holy water, using the rosary, wearing a scapular or religious medal. There are many different types of sacramentals. But there are different means that God gives us to give us graces of the moment if we're open to them. We have the life of the Christian virtues. Faith, which isn't just believing that God exists. Remember, St. James in his epistle says, "You do well to believe that God exists. The devils believe and they tremble." So faith is more than believing that He exists. It's believing Him. It's putting Him at the center of our lives. Believing what He says, what He teaches us through His church, through Scripture. Hope, which has to do with putting Christ, seeing Christ as our goal in life, our end, our purpose is to be with Him in heaven. Charity, divine love, love for God, love of neighbor. Prudence, which helps us to choose the right means to our goals. Justice, which helps us to see what is the right thing to do in each situation, to do the right thing toward each person, to give them their due, beginning with giving God His due, making Him the center of our lives. The virtue of fortitude, which is courage or strength to help us to do the right thing even when it's difficult. And temperance, which is the virtue that helps us to use the good things that God has given us in a proper way, in moderation. We have the gifts of the Holy Spirit that help us to live no longer on a human plane, but on a divine plane. We have the life of Christian charity or almsgiving, works of charity, and the works of mercy. We'll talk about that more in another conference. There's fasting and self-sacrifice. Our Lord Jesus said that the disciples cannot fast while the bridegroom is among them, but once he is no longer among them, in other words, after our Lord died and rose and went to heaven, then they will fast. So we need fasting and self-sacrifice. It helps us to be purged of our sinful habits and enables us to share more deeply in the cross of our Savior Jesus Christ. One of the great means to holiness is devotion to our Holy Mother Mary. She's the most perfect follower of the Lord. Saint Augustine once said that Mary is more blessed as the disciple of the Lord than as his mother. She's more blessed as his disciple than as his mother. We are all called to be his disciples, to follow him as she did. And she always leads us to a deeper relationship and union with her divine Son. She is the mediatrix of all graces, the one through whom our Lord entered our world and through whom he continues to come to us with his grace and gifts. Union with Mary brings us to a more perfect union with her divine Son, Jesus. Another means of holiness is living our personal vocation. A vocation is a calling from God. It comes from the Latin verb vocare. We each have a particular calling, a way to live our way to holiness. Some it's marriage, some it's a life as a single person, some it's widowhood, some it's religious life, some it's priesthood. But that calling from God is part of our way to become holy, to be transformed in Christ. Doing our daily duty in our vocation. Doing your duty, what God has called you to do, even the most mundane things, when done for love of God, is something that can help us to become holy. St. Therese of Lisieux said that picking up a pen off the floor, when done out of love for Jesus, is enough to save a soul. When done truly out of love for the Lord Jesus, doing whatever our duty is for love of him and in union with Christ. And finally, the life of apostleship. We've received the gift of faith and the gift of God's love and charity. And having received that gift, we have an obligation to share it with others, to seek to bring as many people as possible with us into the kingdom of heaven. A life of holiness is not a life of ease. Holiness can be difficult in the sense it always involves participation in the cross of our Lord Jesus. There is no holiness without renunciation and spiritual battle. I just ran across a few days ago a quote from Blessed Pope John the 23rd, in which he talked about how as you come to heaven, the only ones who come into heaven are those who are bearing the cross. As Jesus won heaven for us by the cross, we have to bear our cross in union with him. But the path to holiness is what allows us to enter into a full and complete union with the Lord Jesus. So my brothers and sisters in Christ, do not live a half-hearted life. Never settle for mediocrity. Eric Little, who is the Christian hero in the movie Chariots of Fire, once said that God desires muscular Christians, men and women who will be strong in their convictions, virtuous in how they live their lives, and full of the divine love. These are the kind of women and men who change the world, who convert the world and bring it to Christ Jesus, our Savior. The saints, both the men saints and the women saints, were muscular Christians, strong in their convictions, full of virtue, full of the divine love. If you think of a saint and you think of them as a wimp, you've got the wrong picture. Anytime we have an idea of a saint, we're thinking of them as weak or wimpy. We're misunderstanding that saint. We are called to be muscular Christians, to give our whole lives, our whole heart and soul, in union with our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is through that union with Him that the Lord Jesus will transform us, and through us will begin to transform society. And that is how we will have victory in our culture of death. God bless you. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.